Our ESPN family is grieving the loss of one of our own. Chris Mortensen died this morning at the age of 72.
He was old school. We do live in an urgent time in reporting, and that is sometimes to the detriment of the reporting, but he was certainly someone who could be a conscience on all of that.
One of the greatest reporters, not just in football history, but in sports history. There is nobody that could make me laugh and make me smile the way that Mort would. He would just deliver one joke and lighten the mood just like that.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, all of our great ESPN stations across the country, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Certainly a sad day around ESPN as Chris Mortensen was announced yesterday by his family, an award-winning journalist, of course, NFL and ESPN, passed away at the age of 72 years old, started at ESPN in 1991, and was the ultimate information reporter, news person. I can just share, I don't have interactions with him. I'm new to ESPN, but I had admiration for those Sunday mornings before Twitter, before the internet. Oh my God, Mort's on the screen. What is happening? What's going on? And that's where my mind goes with him, about I always was excited the moment I saw him.
Oh, no doubt. The Mort Report was where it was at on Sunday mornings. And when I saw the news put out there by ESPN PR, the only response I had was legend. You know, Chris Mortensen is legendary. Mm-hmm. And I know that gets thrown around a whole lot, but you're talking about somebody that came up in this business the hard way, was a newspaper guy. But even before that, you're talking about somebody that was a Vietnam vet. You know, so he's one of the most honorable people that this profession has ever seen. And just his career path, his career arc, it speaks to the underlying grit from Chris Mortensen. And you just wouldn't necessarily assign that to somebody that was as nice, as kind, as honorable, as respectful as he was. If you had a chance to know him, you knew that he was all those things and then some. And for me, coming up in an era in the NFL where players were distrustful of the media, that was somebody that you could always talk to because you knew that Mort would always put you in the best light. He would always frame the conversation properly, and he wouldn't manipulate it for something salacious. That was Chris Mortensen. Mm-hmm. And that's why he was always able to get to the bottom of stories and get the best information, mm-hmm. because people knew that he was a stand-up guy. Absolutely. And that's hard to find in this profession. So RIP, rest in power, Chris Mortensen, a legend, Pro Football Hall of Famer, two-time Pulitzer Prize nominee. I mean, the list of accolades goes on and on. But the best thing that I could say about Mort is that he was a stand-up guy.
Absolutely, and that is a huge part of the legacy of Chris Mortensen. For me, my experiences with him, first, as a fan of his work, obviously, because as you mentioned, guys, he approached this job with such a level of integrity. You knew that if Chris Mortensen was putting something out, that you could write it in ink. He was the standard in so many ways for football journalism in our industry. But as a young producer who was coming up in this industry and really had no idea what I was doing and was, you know, trying to book guests and trying to put together content, not only did I always look to Chris Mortensen to help me foster that content because you knew that he was going to give you information that was going to drive the conversations that we have. Anytime that I would reach out to him, he was so gracious to me. He was always going to get back to you. He was always going to try to make time to make it work, to join your shows. And as somebody that was at the bottom of the food chain, to look up at somebody like Chris Mortensen and have him treat me with respect and kindness, that's something I'll always remember. And I know I'm not alone in that. Once we got the unfortunate news of his passing, you saw so many tributes coming out from young people in our industry or people when they were coming up that Chris Mortensen had reached out to them, had mentored them, fostered their dreams, helped them along in this industry. And that's part of the legend of who he was.
ESPN NFL reporter Dan Graziano, of course, worked closely with Mort and told a great story about the iconic and legendary Chris Mortensen yesterday on primetime on ESPN Radio.
I liked how he would swing into action when you called him in on a story. Jordan Ronan, our Giants reporter, and I were chasing the Eli Manning retirement story. And we had it, man. Like, we were 98.9% on this story. Like, we knew he was retiring. But you know, you got to get to 100. You can't leave that 1.1% hanging out there as a possibility of being wrong. And Eli wasn't getting back to either of us. And you know, I just said to Jordan, like, I mean, he'd tell Mort. Yeah, he would tell Mort. We'd love to be able to do it without Mort. So Mort, I call up Mort, and he's like, all right, I'm going to put you guys both on a conference call. We're going to talk this out. Blah, blah. And they're like, all right, here's the plan. You call this guy. You call this guy. And then he called Eli, and then he called us back, and he said, yeah, it's true. He said, I got Eli at dinner. He said, I was hoping to wait on it, but since you guys have it, go with it. And I said, all right, well, you know, we're writing it up. I said, so, you know, whose name's going on this story? And he goes, you guys did the legwork. Just throw my name at the bottom. So Mortensen contributed, and I'll be happy. And good job. And that was it. Like, he just kind of, wow. You know, he helped us get it across the finish line. And he just kind of lived for those moments of like, all right, we got breaking news. Let's break it.
So many great layers to that story by Dan, and speaking towards the greatness of the late, great Chris Mortensen, relationship with teammates, right, in terms of Jordan and Dan. The humility to say, you guys take it. I don't need to be on the top line of the story. Put me at the bottom. And the ability to just call Eli directly while he's at dinner and say, Eli, in or out? And Eli gives him the answer, right? And then you have Peyton Manning posting that tribute to him yesterday. And, of course, our thoughts are with his family. And legacy, like when you think about legacy of Chris Mortensen, in many ways, the legacy is Adam Schefter, who joins us every single Tuesday on our show, and how proud he was to hand the baton to Adam, and how gracious Adam has been in honoring his mentor in many ways, and in Chris Mortensen. And I think Mort would want to know right now, what's the latest with the NFL? And he'd want to go to Adam Schefter that we can go to right now with the latest around the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields. This is what we know Mort would want to hear.
I don't think the market is quite as robust as the Bears and Justin Fields would like it to be. There's been a lot of speculation on Atlanta. I think Atlanta would be something of a surprise right now to trade for Justin Fields. There's been some conversation about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe something could be figured out there. The Las Vegas Raiders might have some interest. But there's not this huge number of teams lined up to trade for Justin Fields as the Bears look to find a home for him before free agency begins in about 10 days.
Very interesting there from Schefter. CeCe, you and I sat here on Friday, and we both thought Atlanta Fields was kind of making some sense heading in that direction. And then this weekend at the Combine, you hear what Schefter had to say, and all of a sudden there's conversation about Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. What's your gut on where this is going?
Yeah, and that's the interesting part about it. I think Kirk Cousins is the linchpin for what happens with the quarterback carousel this offseason. People want to know what's going to happen with him before they make a decision on how they're going to commit to trying to pursue Justin Fields. They want to know whether or not Kirk is going to re-sign with Minnesota, and based on what I'm hearing, it's a matter of the guaranteed money that Kirk Cousins is going to command versus what the Vikings feel comfortable with, knowing his age, knowing that he's coming off of a major injury. So I think that'll be the pivot point when it comes to what happens with the veteran quarterbacks this market, what materializes for Kirk Cousins, and that is going to open a door, as a matter of speaking, for where Justin Fields is going to head to from Chicago. But we do know this. The Chicago Bears are taking Caleb Williams with the first overall pick. We know that. And there's no world in which Caleb Williams and Justin Fields are going to be able to coexist in the 2024 season in the Chicago Bears organization. So we know Justin Fields is going to be on the move. We just don't know what it's going to be for and where it's going to be to. And I think that domino of Kirk Cousins falling is the first thing to be determined before we know where Fields is headed.
Yeah, he's the big piece of the whole puzzle, Kirk Cousins. And I think most of us just assumed that he was going to go back to Minnesota, that it was a symbiotic relationship and they would find a way to get it done. But if that doesn't happen, this is really going to, I think, narrow the market for Justin Fields and put the Bears in kind of a precarious position because, you know, some of these places that we were assuming that he would be a good fit for, if Kirk Cousins is out there and maybe Baker Mayfield, I don't know what the market will be for Justin Fields. So if I'm the Bears, I kind of want to move on this quickly.
Well, there's another part of this that you'll really know how the Bears feel about Justin Fields. If Kirk Cousins does go to Atlanta, Minnesota needs a quarterback. If the Bears think he stinks, you trade him to Minnesota. I'm just being honest.
In the division?
Yeah, you want to face him twice. If you don't think someone's good, you want to face them twice a year, right?
There's no doubt about it, but it just, I don't know, it just highlights how ridiculous the notion of the Chicago Bears trading the number one overall pick in a quarterback-rich draft with generational talents at the top of the draft. Trading that pick away, the opportunity to take one of those guys and try to build around Justin Fields. The rest of the league is telling you, we don't think Justin Fields is better than Kirk Cousins. So how the hell could you justify trading the pick no matter what people are willing to give you. Three first-round picks, okay, whatever. What difference does three first-round picks make if you don't have a damn quarterback?
None.
Exactly. So this whole notion that Bears fans have had out there, oh, JF1 is our guy, he's QB1, why we don't need a quarterback. The rest of the NFL is telling you, yeah, you do. You need a quarterback. Because we don't think Justin Fields is better than Kirk Cousins.
I just want to make sure we're clear on one thing, though, CeCe, because you have said that you don't think the gap between 1, 2, and 3 is that great. So when you're saying trading out, you mean trading out of the top three, right? Because you would be okay in theory if they traded down to 2 or 3 and got an arm and a leg. If they deem Daniels or May to be close enough, right?
Sure.
Right. No, I just want to make sure I'm clear on this.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I think this is a situation for the Bears where you don't need to get too cute.
Right.
Yes.
Right, right.
You don't.
Yeah.
Like, just make the right decision at the quarterback spot. Whoever the guy is that's highest on your board, the person that you're most comfortable bringing
take him
into
in,
the organization. Not just the player, the person. And I think that is a key part to drill down on for the Bears. They are trying to change the culture within that franchise. You got to bring in somebody that not only can be productive on the field, but somebody that can be a leader of men in that locker room, mm-hmm. somebody that can be a leader in that community and put forward a good face for your franchise. Because right now you don't have one. Like, if I ask you who's the face of the Chicago Bears, who the hell is it?
I would say Justin Fields, but he's on the move.
Yeah, he's not going to be there. You don't have a face of the franchise. Right. Like, you need that guy. And the number one overall pick, especially at the quarterback spot, will undoubtedly be that person. So, again, it's not just a matter of the player you're bringing in, but it's the person and making sure that everybody in the franchise is comfortable with that. And maybe even more importantly, that the player that you're drafting is comfortable with you. And I think that's the part of this process that the Chicago Bears have to hone in on. And from all accounts, from what it sounds like, that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, you're like, take the easy route. Don't try to get cute. Sometimes the easiest route is the smartest route, and it feels like that's what's happening here with Caleb Williams.
All right, we got to get into the other part of that, right? The Kirk Cousins rumors, because now the mm-hmm. idea of him to Atlanta, and then it's obviously squashing some of the market for Justin Fields. That's a juicy one as well. We will get into that coming up on Sportsmanlike. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You know, we've spent a lot of time, understandably so, around the Bears and what they're going to do at the quarterback position.
Yep.
You asked the question, who's the face of the Bears franchise? I would say it's the number one pick. It's not actually a person. It's literally the number one. Well, the last 2 years has been the number one thing we've talked about with the Chicago Bears.
Fair point.
But now, what you said previously, CeCe, about the quarterback market starting with Kirk Cousins, I think is now a bigger picture issue than it was 1 week ago at this time. I think we all kind of thought, hey, he's going back to Minnesota. Then he puts out the throwing video in the tennis court, and Adam Schefter says to us, last Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, why would you do that if everything's good? You don't put yourself on the dating app if you're married, right? And he's basically not married there. And now we look at this and our very own Dan Graziano reporting over the weekend, if he hits free agency, expect the Falcons to make a big pitch. Then you're seeing all other reports that, hey, the Niners are now in the mix. Maybe, we'll see. We know we've always heard about Kyle Shanahan back with Kirk Cousins. Washington, Denver. I feel like he's going to really be a free agent here, it seems like.
Yeah, and it makes it interesting for Minnesota because there are avoidable years on the previous deal that Kirk Cousins had, and that means that he would have a $28.5 million cap hit even if he was playing for somebody else in 2024. So there's a lot of incentive for Minnesota to try to work it out. I just don't know that they're going to go to the same lengths as a team like Atlanta, who's been in quarterback purgatory since, what, Matt Ryan? So, I mean, this is a situation now where you're going to have a lot of competition in the marketplace because of the timeline and because how well Kirk has looked in all of his rehab sessions and the videos that he's put out there on social media. So this is a situation now where it's dicey for Minnesota. They'll have options, but I don't know that any of the options are going to be as good in 2024 as being able to re-sign Kirk.
But this is a guy who's going into his age 36 season coming off a major injury. I know that he's a really good quarterback, but I expected there to be more interest in somebody like Justin Fields, even though we haven't seen as much from him as we had from Kirk Cousins. I just thought somebody who was younger, maybe a little bit more malleable, who you've seen that dynamic skill set, that athleticism from him, that some teams would be looking at this saying, okay, we're going to get Kirk Cousins at a certain number, at a certain age, maybe with Justin Fields, if he gets out of Chicago, gets out of that situation, we can do something with him. And I don't know. I just think that I thought that there would be more interest in Justin Fields than it seems like we're seeing right now.
So I just want to make sure we're clear on this. You're saying that you believe, are you saying it's wrong that the market for Fields is not bigger than the market for Cousins, or that you're surprised at the market for
Fields? I'm just a little surprised. Like, I know that Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback and he's had a lot of success, but just given the age, the number that he's going to make to command and the injury, I thought that the market might be a little bit more narrow.
Well, see, out of the three things that you just pointed out, I think the second one is the most important, the number that he's going to command. We don't know what that is. Like, we know Kirk Cousins is all about the guaranteed bag. He's made, what, $230, $240 million?
Mm-hmm.
And I think all but two of it has been guaranteed.
Yes.
$231 million.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, of that, $228 has been fully guaranteed.
Yes, he always secures
it. That's what I'm saying. So I don't know that he's going to be able to continue to do business the way that he has, mm-hmm. knowing that he's going into his age 36 season. I'm sure that though other teams out there are willing to guarantee the first 2 years of the deal, that's kind of table stakes, even though that's not how the Minnesota Vikings like to operate. That's table stakes in terms of NFL contracts that are 4 or 5 year deals. But if it could be a situation where Kirk looks at what's out there, and if he doesn't get a fully guaranteed contract, that could bring him and the Minnesota Vikings back together. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be interesting to see the lengths that these teams are willing to go and how much of a contrast it is from what Minnesota is seemingly offering and what they got on the table.
Who should be the highest bidder for him?
Minnesota, I think. I think he should stay where he is. Or that they should want to retain him.
CeCe?
It's tricky. I could understand the Atlanta Falcons bit, why they would be interested in him as opposed to Justin Fields. Because even though they have a really young core of players on both sides of the ball, they're looking at the landscape of the NFC South and saying, it makes sense to go with a proven commodity rather than a projection. And let's be honest, that's what Justin Fields is still. A projection. Mm-hmm. We've seen splash plays, but a lot of inconsistency. And on top of that, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. So with Kirk Cousins, I know what I'm going to get. I am going to get top 10 quarterback production. I'm not saying he's a top 10 quarterback.
Right.
I'm saying top 10 quarterback production. I know that I'm guaranteed that with Kirk. And when you look at the weapons that they have on that offense, when you look at how well they played on the defensive side of the ball last year, there's no reason to think that they can't walk away with the NFC South next year. No reason. I mean, the Tampa Bay Bucs are in quarterback purgatory. They don't know whether or not they're going to be able to keep Baker Mayfield. We don't know if Bryce Young is going to be any good in Carolina. And the New Orleans Saints are out of love with their quarterback, Derek Carr. So, I mean, if you get Kirk Cousins, you are the presumptive favorite in March to win the NFC South. Yeah. And ain't a whole lot going to change between now and kickoff that would alter how we view that.
We knew that we were going to find out information coming out of the combine. What it seems like right now, and I agree with what CeCe said, and I think you do too, Smalls, about the idea of, like, Caleb Williams going number one to the Bears.
Like, yes, it feels
we
like
can,
that,
we can
for sure.
play out the hypotheticals all we want, which we will. Like, it's fun, right? But that's happening. What we don't know now, compared to last week, is where everybody else is going to go. Like, because we left this weekend thinking Kirk Cousins could be in Atlanta, which we did not talk about prior.
Mm-hmm.
We think that Baker Mayfield may end up in New England, which was not a thing prior. Now, all these guys may return, right? But then the market for Justin Fields is less than it was previously. If Washington is even mentioned for Kirk Cousins, that doesn't mean that they wouldn't draft a quarterback number two. But what it means is they would take the least ready quarterback, which I think is May, right? Everybody says Daniels and Caleb can step right in. Maybe. I don't know, right? Yeah. I think the quarterback market is upside down from where it was 1 week ago, at least based on rumors.
Yeah, we all thought that Justin Fields was going to be the one that moves the needle because we just kind of presumed that it would work out in some way between Minnesota and Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
But he could really shift everything if he decides to go elsewhere. Because if he, let's just write him in pencil to Atlanta, then what are the places that look good for Justin Field? Maybe Pittsburgh, maybe the Raiders, maybe Minnesota, but it feels like if Kirk Cousins is out of that equation, you're a different football team, and maybe you want to start over, hit the reset button in a lot of ways. So you're looking at a market that's narrowing for Justin Fields if Kirk Cousins doesn't stay put with Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about it and looking at it, Smalls. It feels like that list of teams that will be in on Justin Fields has just got real small.
Right?
Like, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers, maybe. The Minnesota Vikings, would the Bears really trade him to a division rival? Probably not. I mean, Tennessee, they seem like they're content on Will Levis. I mean, you know Sean Payton is out on that. That's not his style of quarterback. The Las Vegas Raiders, possibly, but they're going to try to get aggressive and move up into the top three. So, you start to look at the places, the different chairs, and I don't know that Justin Fields is going to have one when the music stops. Like, I just don't know. And it's crazy to think that for a guy that has so much potential, so much promise, but what the NFL is telling us is that we are putting the production aspect of it when it comes to veteran quarterbacks as the priority rather than the potential.
I'll add one other statement on this. If Kirk Cousins leaves Minnesota, I believe they should take offers for Justin Jefferson. He's phenomenal. Nobody's doubting that. But who are you getting to replace Kirk Cousins this year that is worth Justin Jefferson playing with?
So you're saying you should just rebuild?
I think they started to last year. I don't think we noticed it as much, but Dalvin Cook, Eric Kendricks, there was a lot of guys that Adam Thielen that walked out that door last year in Minnesota, and I think they were an under-the-radar retooling last year. They just got rid of their running back recently, right? I mean, like, there is something going on there. Alexander Mattison, there was something going on there that if I'm them, who's giving me two or three firsts for Justin Jefferson? I cannot pay him to make my quarterback good. I pay the quarterback to make my receiver good. Just saying. If he walks out that door, a lot of things potentially change. You think I'm not, CeCe?
Yeah, you're nuts. I'm not trading Justin Jefferson.
I saw the look.
Not doing it. But the Justin Fields situation is fascinating. I do believe that he is good enough to be a starting quarterback in this league and can develop into a good starting quarterback. I'm just struggling to see the place
that's
clear and obvious that he ends up landing.
Tampa, if Baker goes?
That could be an option. It's on the board. It's absolutely on the board.
But what this all tells us is the Bears now have to wait. Everybody's like, oh, the Bears are going to get it done this week. No, now you got to wait for the Kirk Cousins situation to play itself out because nobody's going to take in Justin Fields if they think they have 1% chance at Kirk Cousins. They're not going to say, yeah, give us Fields. If Atlanta's not going to trade for Fields if they think they can get Cousins.
You think Kirk Cousins going to Tampa?
Now, that's interesting. You don't think Kirk Cousins would go to Tampa?
No.
I think that would be interesting.
I don't know that Tampa's a big Coles town. Are they a big Coles cash town?
Well,
if they're not a big Coles cash town, Kirk Cousins is out.
So the Flannels don't play there?
I had not thought about that. Now I think that's actually
Kirk
interesting.
Kirk Cousins as Florida man? I just don't see it. I don't see Kirk Cousins as Florida man.
He likes going shirtless a lot.
I don't know.
Although him shirtless with the chains and the glasses.
I was going to say, did I think Kirk O'Chains was on the board?
That's
like
a great
maybe
point.
He'll lean into Florida man.
Maybe Kirk O'Chains is a Florida guy.
Wait a minute. Now you have me really thinking. Kirk Cousins with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Is Mike Evans going to be there?
I would just say, I don't think Mike Evans is going to be there.
I don't think he's going to be there.
I already have him slotted elsewhere.
Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 28 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. Coming up, upon further review with CeCe, next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two,
Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast. Now that the weekend is over, it's time to look back and break it down.
Without further ado, let's get this thing kicked off.
This is Upon Further Review.
After further review,
a little farther.
With Chris Canty.
Ah, yes, this is Upon Further Ado. This is Michelle Smallman. This is Evan Cohen. And I am Chris Canty. And we always recap my thoughts and my musings from the weekend that was in the world of sports. And we're going to kick this thing off with number one.
Do we have number one?
Jason Tatum's birthday yesterday. How did he celebrate? By putting the Golden State Warriors dynasty in the coffin and lowering it. The Warriors dynasty is over. How do I know it's over? Because Golden State got smoked by 52 points. Their only loss on this current four-game road trip. It was an absolute embarrassment. Steph Curry, 0-for-9 from three-point land. But guess what? That was only in the first two quarters because he didn't play in the second half. You know why he didn't play in the second half? Because they were losing by 45 at halftime. Jaylen Brown had 19 in the first quarter. Tatum followed that up with 20 in the second quarter. And those guys put it in cruise control. It was an absolute dominant performance. But for everybody that was waiting for the Golden State Warriors to flip some switch and get ready to go on this magical run, guess what? It ain't going to happen. And with Klay Thompson seemingly poised to leave in free agency because he's not going to get a contract extension with the Golden State Warriors, I think it's fair to go ahead and say that yesterday's game was the prelude to the death knell that is the Warriors dynasty. It is over. This iteration of Golden State ain't winning another championship. It was a nice ride. Four rings, nice ride. No more championships.
Very nice ride.
Yeah, I'm not giving up on them.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, they were depleted yesterday. I mean, no Wiggins and and no Pods. I mean, they didn't have their entire team. I'll comment more on the Celtics part of it, though. Can we put some extra pressure on them? And what I mean by that is they've won 11 games in a row. They had a 44-point lead at half, 51 in the third quarter. This is their third win this season by 50 or more. They better win a title.
I thought the same thing.
I don't want to hear about the Celtics group anymore. Better win a title. Because if they don't...
That's what you got from yesterday.
Yeah, they better win a title. You don't think so?
I mean, they're having as good a regular season as anybody. They have the best regular season record. They've been the most dominant team over the last, month and a half? So, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's clear that they have championship aspirations, but they didn't do anything to change my expectations of them yesterday. To me, that was more about the Golden State Warriors giving up the ghost than it was the Boston Celtics. My goodness.
You have to understand, my Twitter world is filled up with Heat fans that then put out the Celtics stuff.
Okay.
And there's a lot of Celtics trash talking about how great they are. Better win a title.
CeCe, okay. Is there any part of you that feels like the Warriors are in the coffin, but that you're afraid that they'll pop back out? Because that's how I felt about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ain't no Undertaker situation.
No Undertaker?
Nah, it's over.
It's over.
They have too much of a gauntlet in the Western Conference. They're not going to get through all of those teams. They're just not. They might be able to upset somebody in round one of the postseason, but here's the thing. They got to get to round one of the postseason because right now they're relegated to play-in status. So, I mean, I just look at all of the Western Conference teams, OKC, the Denver Nuggets. They're nuggeting. They're doing their thing. just the Minnesota Timberwolves, even though they didn't cover themselves in glory last night. The Clippers. There's so many teams in the West that they're going to have to get through. I just don't see it happening for the Golden State Warriors. I just don't.
7-10 in the West has an insane amount of first ballot Hall of Famers.
Sure.
It's actually nuts when you look at it. Phoenix, Dallas, Golden State, and Lakers.
Yeah.
That's nuts for play-in status.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but only one of them really played like a Hall of Famer. That was LeBron James over the weekend. We'll get to that a little bit later. Next.
Number two.
Michael Penix Jr. made him some money this weekend. The Washington quarterback made him some money, y'all. The boy gonna have his own money. Channeling my inner Coming to America, Prince Hakeem. But that was Michael Penix Jr. He was the prince. You see, he's got his crown, a.k.a. his purple do-rag on, and he was slinging the ball all over the yard. Only participated in the throwing portion of the workout. Didn't run the 40 and none of that stuff. But guess what? He didn't need to. Checked in at 6'2", 216. Plenty of size. Everybody's making a big deal of his hand size. You know it's good for your reputation on these streets when you got 10.5-inch hands. I'll sidebar that one. But here's the thing. Plenty of arm strength, can make all of the throws. But the thing that was most impressive about it was his throws on outbreaking routes. Being able to time those up with receivers that you're not used to throwing to, it just shows that innate ability to anticipate those throws and make adjustments in real time. I think those are things that'll serve him well when he makes the leap to the next level. I mean, he was driving the ball accurately, probably has the best deep ball accuracy of any quarterback in this class. Like, that's how good.
More than Jaden Daniels?
More than I didn't stutter. Best deep ball accuracy of any quarterback in this class.
Wow.
That's how good he is. And I know a lot of people want to, dismiss him. All they're saying, well, the medicals, the injuries that he suffered in college. Medical reports, by and large, came back, and it was a checked box, meaning that there wasn't anything that raised any alarms. Nobody sounding the alarms, no red flags. People are getting more comfortable with him. And I think what he showed on the field is only going to serve him well when it comes to late April. A lot of people saying that he's a day two guy. I think he's actually going to get drafted in the first round. I think there's a team in the second half of the first round that decides that they're going to take him, or a team that trades up from the second round to the first round so they can get their fifth-year option. But Michael Penix Jr. made himself a lot of money this weekend.
Wow. My response to this was going to be Method Man and Red Man and ask how high, but you just answered that question. So do you think 5 first-round quarterbacks then? Because a lot of people think Bo Nix is now going to end up in the first round. So that's the big three.
I think it's 5.
J.J. McCarthy.
I don't know if it's J.J. McCarthy or if it's Bo Nix, but I do think it's Michael Penix Jr. Right now, I got him as my 4th best quarterback in this class.
Wow.
I know people will fall in love with the potential of J.J. McCarthy, mm-hmm. but as Bill Parcells used to always say, potential just means you hadn't done it yet. We hadn't seen it.
Wait a minute. I said 5. That's 6.
Yeah.
There could be 6 first rounds.
J.J. Bo Nix.
No,
Michael. Right, you have 4.
No, I think 5 quarterbacks will go in the first round.
1 slips.
Yeah, I think 1 slips. But what I'm telling you is, after the big 3, the next quarterback that I would have is Michael Penix Jr.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a big leap then this weekend.
Well, I think he opened a lot of eyes, too. I think people saw him perform at the combine, they're going to go back and check the tape now. And when they see the tape from Washington the last couple of years, they're going to fall in love with him again.
Not only did he show the athleticism at the combine, making all the throws, the measurables were there, but in reading about it too, I think a lot of teams were impressed by the way he explained himself, the way he processed information, the way he can read plays, draw up some plays. So I think not only did he improve on the field, but I think he opened a lot of eyes, like you mentioned, with the way that he is as a football player and as the brain behind the athleticism.
Yeah, the way he goes about his business, it just screams professional quarterback, mm-hmm. which is what you want. Professional quarterback. All right. Last but not least.
Number 3.
Call me crazy, but I'm starting to lean toward the Dallas Cowboys not extending Dak Prescott this offseason. If the deal is going to happen, it's going to happen this month. It'll happen in the month of March, because why in God's green earth would you want to compete against the numbers from the new quarterback contracts that are going to happen this offseason? I think this is a situation where the Dallas Cowboys are assessing and they're saying, you know what? If we can lower Dak Prescott's cap hit and not have to pay him $60 million a year, then I think we can still go in and go all in and accomplish our goals without paying our quarterback an absurd amount of money that he's probably not going to be able to live up to. Now, our very own Darren Graziano is also unconvinced coming out of the combine that the Cowboys are going to pay Dak this offseason. And he's saying that if the Cowboys can't make it happen, if they can't make headway in the negotiations, the Cowboys can save about $18.5 million in cap space by converting Dak's 2024 salary into a signing bonus and doing so without adding any more voidable years to the contract. What that does, though, is that pushes a higher cap charge into future years. And for 2025, Dak Prescott would have a $55 million cap charge, even if he wasn't on the team. So that is the definition of robbing Peter to pay Paul. But I can't get out of my mind the playoff loss to the Green Bay Packers and the subsequent response from Jerry Jones. He said that this team would go as far as Dak would take them, and that's how far they went. It doesn't necessarily invoke a lot of confidence that they're going to pay that guy $60 million a year, and that's what it would take to get a Dak Prescott extension done.
There has been nothing that has happened so far that has gotten me off of my stance that I believe Dak Prescott will ask out this offseason. Doesn't mean they'll trade him. I'm convinced he's going to ask out. And what you just said makes me think it even more.
That's a deep conversation that we don't have time to get to in the next 30 seconds. So take us a break. We got to get to that on the other side.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, so we talked about the fact that CC just said, based on everything that's happened this weekend, all the conversations around the NFL, that you are convinced the Cowboys and Dak Prescott do not work out a contract extension.
Yeah, because I don't think that the Cowboys are convinced that Dak Prescott is a $60 million a year quarterback. And if you're Dak Prescott, why would you settle for anything less knowing the leverage that you have? You have a $59.5 million cap hit this year. You have a full no-trade clause, a full no-franchise tag clause. So why would you settle for less than $60 million a year and that being the high watermark, especially knowing that the league salary cap jumped from, what was it, $224 million to $255 million. Mm. Why would you settle for less than $60 million a year? You wouldn't. But if you're Jerry Jones, you have to ask yourself, do I think Dak Prescott is a $60 million a year quarterback? And Smalls, I don't know how you land on the answer to that being yes.
Especially when you are a team that you say, if I'm the owner, is built to win a Super Bowl and has fallen short year after year. And he's the most important piece of that puzzle. So if I don't think he's the guy that can put it all together, I'm certainly not going to pay him that money.
So you brought up the idea that Gian Graziano reported this weekend that basically they can convert $18 million they can lower the cap hit by $18 million without his permission. He doesn't have to be involved in that. He being Dak Prescott, they can just do that. But unfortunately for them, that pushes out money and a $55 million cap hit in what year? 2025, 26?
The next season. So not 2024, 2025.
Yeah, you can't do that. You just can't. You can't have a $55 million dead cap hit for somebody that's not on your team. So I think they would have to then approach this season and go into it with that $60 million cap hit if they're not going to extend him. And he's basically a pending free agent at $60 million. Here's the question, though. If, and I believe when he asks out, I'm convinced he's going to have to ask out. They brought Mike McCarthy back, who I am a fan of, but most are not. They brought him back to pair with Dak Prescott. If Dak is not there, why is he there? Because now that opens a whole other can of worms.
Well, it puts both of them on the same timeline, though. That's
the point.
But not
if they get rid of him now.
Well, what do you mean
if they trade Dak this offseason?
But why would – I mean, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, you don't want to trade Dak. You want to go into 2024 running it back with your head coach and your quarterback, Mike McCarthy calling the plays. Dak had an all-pro season, arguably his best as a pro. I don't know that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are saying they want to trade him. What they want to do is – create this kind of sense of urgency that they are with their head coach within their quarterback. If you want to be a $60 million a year quarterback plus, then go out there and compete and win a championship. Go out there and win a Super Bowl. We'll pay you whatever you want if you give us what we want. And that's the part that Dak has yet to deliver on. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pin it all on him, and I'm not going to also sit here and say that I don't think Dak can win a championship, because I believe he can. I just don't know that you're going to be able to win a championship when you're paying Dak Prescott $60 million a year. Like, how many $60 million a year quarterbacks are out there?
Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and that's probably the list.
Probably.
That's it.
Probably.
So, I mean, if I'm paying a guy $60 million a year, it makes it that much harder to fill out the roster and pay my other talented players at premier positions. Like, if I'm paying Dak $60 million a year, I end up paying Michael Parsons, you know, making him the highest paid defensive player. That'd be $35 million a year. Pay CeeDee Lamb, highest paid wide receiver. That's going to be another $30 million a year. Like, at some point, you just start to run out of money. And so if you're Jerry Jones, you're saying, do I need to do this now? Or do I want to put the pressure on Dak in the same way that I'm applying pressure to Mike McCarthy? And I would lean toward that approach going into 2024 and see how it all shakes out.
So as we said weeks ago, it feels like a last dance, but they haven't won anything yet. But it really does feel like, because they are both on that timeline, that they have this year to get it done, or else it seems like both of them might be out of Dallas, right?
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Now, here's the thing. If he goes out there and he has, you know, one of those seasons where he wins a championship in a contract year, i.e. Joe Flacco in 2012 with the Baltimore Ravens, yeah, he's going to be the highest paid player in the sport. And sure, Jerry Jones would have no problem making him the highest paid player in the sport. And that's how you would lower that cap hit in 2025, by being able to re-sign him and paying him more than anybody else will. But I think under the circumstances, to do it now could create more pain for you moving forward in terms of overall roster construction. It might satisfy this year in terms of making you feel better about the situation, but I don't know that it lends itself to putting Jerry Jones closer to a championship if they don't get it done in 2024.
There is a part of this that I look at and I say, unfortunate timing for Dak, because I believe the Atlanta Falcons would make him the highest paid player in the history of the sport if he was a free agent this offseason.
Oh, no doubt.
I don't think, I mean, because if we're going to hear the rumors.
And they wouldn't be the only teams Denver that would be in on that. Yeah.
Denver would definitely be doing it. And I think maybe some of the top three picks in the draft would reconsider the pick versus Dak. Jerry Jones at the combine this weekend addressed the extension for Dak Prescott.
If everybody wants to solve it, you can. And so the how is you get in and get on the same page and see if you can come to an agreement. If you can't, what we have in place works. And so obviously, if you do it one way, then that gives you, you'll be working through some of the other areas on the team in a different way. But you can't really plan on that until you see where you are there. That's what we're doing.
Is there fear that this could be his last year? Do you have that fear at all?
I don't fear that.
Well, he doesn't fear it because he hasn't extended it, so he's accepted, I would assume, the idea that if Dak Prescott's not there, they're comfortable with it. I think one of the most interesting parts of that piece of audio there is when Jerry Jones says, what we have in place works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're cool in a last dance without a first dance scenario.
Well, what they have in place is, I guess, let me say it differently. If they're willing to stay with what they have in place, then that directly contradicts what Jerry Jones told us earlier this offseason, which is that the Dallas Cowboys are going all in. You're not going all in if you got your quarterback on a $59.5 million cap hit. You're just not. You can't.
You literally cannot.
You can't. You can't add the pieces that you're going to need to add this offseason. Like, you're probably in a position where you're going to have to let Tyron Smith, an all-pro left tackle, walk. Like, that's the word after the combine. Like, we're going to let him walk. We might not be able to bring him back. Like, that's what it's going to cost you. But when you start paying guys top-of-the-market money at premier positions, you are forced to make some difficult choices, and that's one of them. So can your quarterback be the difference? Can he be good enough to offset the deficiencies by losing players like that, players that have been core guys for the last decade plus? I don't know the answer to that. But based on how things ended last year, I would be very uncomfortable if I'm Jerry Jones. If I'm the Dallas Cowboys brain trust, I'm playing out the string. I probably convert his salary in 2024 to bonus, lower his cap hit $18 million, and I'll figure out 2025 when that gets here. but I'm trying to do everything I can to give us one last chance within this window. And if Dak doesn't get it done, then I think you're starting to get answers on whether or not he would be worth the money moving forward. Now, the only question to that, or the only pivot to that, would be, should Dak Prescott be on board with that approach if Jerry Jones decides to play it out that way? Should Dak be comfortable going into a quote-unquote contract season without any guaranteed money beyond 2024? Because I wouldn't be. He's already done it twice with the Dallas Cowboys. He's played on a franchise tag twice. So I don't know that I would be comfortable if I was Dak under that scenario. So it's not a matter of whether or not Jerry Jones should allow the organization to play out the string when it comes to Dak's contract. It's whether or not Dak allows you to take that approach as well.
So are the Dallas Cowboys capable of having a tank year? And I ask this because think about what we just laid out here, right? Dak Prescott on a one-year deal. Mike McCarthy on a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. They have Trey Lance, former number three pick overall by the San Francisco 49ers. He's not technically under contract next year unless you pick up his fifth-year option, which you're not going to at $22.4 million. Breaking news. But he would probably re-sign if he was going to be the starting quarterback. So, like, in other words, I wonder, are the Dallas Cowboys at this point in Jerry Jones' life capable of just saying, you know what, we didn't make it with this group. We're going to have one gap year where we're going to have a $55 million cap hit for Dak, who's on the Falcons at that point, and we'll deal with it. We'll try to get the number one pick in the draft. Can they have that? Can that franchise deal with that? I compare them, we all compare them to the Yankees. Yankees never have the tear it down year. Can they do that? Because that's what it's setting up for if they don't win this year. They're setting up for a tank year.
I just can't see them doing that. I know that the way you're outlining it, it's all aligning that way, but this is the Dallas Cowboys. I just can't see them finding that a palatable option.
And they may not. I mean, they may try to extend Dak, obviously. We're Unsportsmanlike. We'll continue the conversation coming up on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.